So a Christian woman has no right to leave her husband. But if she does leave him, but if she does, although God told her not to, but if she does, let her remain single or else go back to him. She ain't supposed to get married to somebody else. And the husband must not leave his wife. Now, I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. Now, that other was a direct command from God. But this is that if a Christian man has a wife who is an unbeliever and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. In other words, if you're married, and a lot of people meet that category, that criteria. You're living with a non-believer, but you don't have to leave them. And then the next verse, 13 and 14. And if a Christian woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. For the Christian wife brings holiness to her marriage. And the Christian husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children will not have a godly influence. But now they are set apart for him. Now, I want to tell you something right here. You take one believer and one unbeliever, and they get married. And they have children. And let's say the child dies at 3 due to some kind of a sin. Where do you think that little child goes? It goes to heaven. Why? One of the parents was a believer. Now, what if you got two unbelievers? What if you got two unbelievers living in the same house? And what if they have a normal sexual relationship and they bring a child into the world and the daddy don't believe in Jesus, the mother don't believe in Jesus, and they have a child. And let's say the child gets run over or killed in a car wreck at 3 years old. Where do you think that child goes? I don't believe that child goes to heaven. I don't believe that child goes to heaven at all. I don't believe there's a chance for that child because that child is not sanctified with the Word of God and prayer because it has no Christian influence. Why are your children holy? Because of you. Now, if you got a man and a woman that's both believers, really good believers, and your children are there and any one of them die for any reason, you can be a guaranteed and assured that child will go to heaven because they're sanctified and set apart because of you, because you are a Christian parent. I may be wrong here, but all I know is what the Word says. And the Word says, right there says, a husband brings holiness to his marriage, otherwise your children would not have a godly influence, but now they are set apart for him. They're set apart for him because they have a holy influence. What if they don't have a holy influence? Don't like to think about that, do we? That's why that, I mean, I got real tickled when I watched a little bit of the movie, The Rapture, Left Behind. And it said children all over the world are gone. You see, I don't believe that. I think those Muslims over there don't know Jesus. I think their children's all going to be left. I think the people live right here in this state, in this city, that neither the man nor the woman, if a rapture come and God snatches out part of the church, I believe every man and woman that does not know Jesus, I believe their children will still be left right here with them. I may be wrong, but how can we eliminate that? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them the truth. Get them saved. But they got a decision to make, don't they? Just like you as a man and a woman. Now, wow, I realize it's 4:30 and I'm not even half through. So I guess what we'll do, we'll start right here at the end of this scripture. And let's see, we were at, actually I was going to go to first close 20. I'll go all the way down to 20, something at 14. I'll hit 15 and 16. And then next week we'll start over right here because I got another 2 hours worth of teaching on husbands and wives. And let's go to 15 and 16. But if the husband or wife who isn't a Christian insists on leaving, let them go. There's legal grounds. In such case, a Christian husband or wife is not required to stay with them, for God wants his children to live in peace. Now see, if you're married to a man and he's a regular little hellion, now you might have married him hoping you was going to change him. You were a Christian, you were a daughter of the King, and you thought, well, I can change him. but you found out you couldn't. And he's mean, he beats up on you and all kinds of stuff. I've seen Christian women say, well, I know I'm not supposed to leave. God hates divorce, so I'm going to have to stay here and live in this the rest of my life. And so in her life, she gets her nose broken 3 or 4 times, her arm broke, all kinds of stuff. Did God say you had to live in that kind of nonsense? No, he did not. Did he say he called you to live in peace? That's what he said. So if you got a husband that's meaner than the devil himself, if you married him and him not being a Christian, well, shame on you. That's all I got to say. Because God tells us in his word not to be unequally yoked. A man should never marry a woman that is not of like faith with him. If she's not a believer, you should never marry her. You know, never. And the same way, man and woman, you should never have nothing to do with them. You wives must remember that your husbands might be converted because of you. And you husbands must remember that your wives might be converted because of you. So if you can live in peace in a home, you've got a chance of living that godly life and seeing the other one come to know Jesus. I've seen that happen many times. You know, I will have to say, you know, whenever, just like Tom just asked me a question. He said, what do we have to do to get it from here to here? I told him, just keep on working on it. That's all I could say. I said, just keep on keeping on and keep it on and keep it on. I know, because I'm a human being just like you. And, you know, you can say all the stuff you want to. And you can say you got all the faith in the world. But when the enemy attacks you, and I can go back to the last attack I had really from the enemy that was really serious, is when I got bit by that brown recluse spider. I know those things are deadly. I've seen what they do. And, you know, and he bit me right there on the arm. And, of course, my arm began to swell up. And I knew the Word of God in Mark 16:18 says that no deadly poison shall hurt me. I mean, I know that. I've preached that. I've got that down. And I've seen it work for me before. But now I've got to make it work again. You know, and I'm standing on his word, and of course my arm swells up. And by the afternoon, it's way out there. You know, and when somebody said, good grief, what happened to your arm? Well, you know, when you tell somebody, well, I got bit by a spider. Well, good grief, what kind? It sure is swelled up. Well, it was a brown recluse. Well, they go into hysteria. Let me take you to the doctor right now. You know, I mean, good grief. I said, no, I got the best doctor in the world. Come on. Yeah, Thurman, I know about that jump. But come on, your arm, look at your arm. Let's go to the doctor. And, of course, if you're not careful, your old flesh is saying, you better go with him. You better go with him. You better go with him. Y'all know where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir.
When you get an attack. And so you have to fight it. And I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm okay. Jesus is going to take care of me. And so, anyway, as I stood, you know, the first day, I made it through the day okay. And then the next day, whenever I woke up the next morning, my arm was swelled up all the way from my wrist all the way to my shoulder. I mean, you know, I mean, it was about a half inch soft, puffy, thick all over. And when I woke up that morning and I looked over at that, you know what? My good friend, the first thing he said, oh, you're going to get healed. Yeah, that's what he said, all right, wasn't it? He said, oh, you fool, you've gone too far now. You're going to lose your whole arm. That sounds just like our good buddy, doesn't it? Yeah, that's oh, he gets through the flesh. He knows this flesh is weak. But, I mean, I had so much of the word in me. I said, no. I'm not going there. I said, I ain't going to lose that arm. I said, I'm going to get up and go to work today as normal. And I did. And, of course, the next day, Saturday, when I woke up, my arm was stiff. I couldn't hardly bend it. It was like this to make it bend. You know what that does to you? The enemy really said, you idiot, you've gone too far now. I told you yesterday it was too late, but today it's really over. You know? Sounds just like our lovely friend, doesn't he? But the Word says, all I got to do is stand on His Word. I mean, so Saturday afternoon, I mean, I even went and hauled some gravel that day, and I'd have to reach over and get this arm, put it up on the steering wheel to make the steering wheel work, you know, because I couldn't hardly bend my arm. I said, Lord, I know you're my healer. I mean, I've read it in your word. I've got it, I hope, from here to here, you know. Lord, by faith, I really do have it down there. I know that you're my healer. I know you're going to take care of me. And then I'm going to be like Job. Okay, Lord, I know you will, and I know you can, And I know everything's going to, but just in case you don't, I know I'm going to get to come home and be with you anyway. So anyway I go, I'm going to be the winner. You know, so, I mean, it's tough to stand on God's word. I know. I've been there and done it. But that afternoon, my faith was so high. I got a friend of mine over here. His name was Dave, too. And I said, you got anything to cut this thing open and squeeze this big old yellow head out of this thing for me? And he said, I sure do. So I went up there, and he took a little kit he had, some kind of little surgical kit. And, man, he went to digging down in there and cut that thing open, went to squeeze it. And I'm telling you, the blood and stuff went to running out of that thing. You wouldn't believe what it looked like. He squeezed that stuff out of my arm. In fact, it's amazing how he could get up here and squeeze right here, and it would run out down here. I mean, it looked awful. But, you know, I just told him, I said, Dave, squeeze that devil out of me. I need him out in the name of Jesus. And so we stayed with it there. And finally, later, we got down to that little hard core down in there and really squeezed. And when that little thing about, oh, I don't know, half, three-quarter inch long, about big around as a pencil, when that little yellow hard thing come out, I said, that's the devil I'm looking for right there. I said, that's him. I said, he ain't going to get back in there no more. I said, praise God, now I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Well, Sunday morning, I got up and put a long sleeve shirt on so nobody could see my shirt, my arm or anything. Of course, you usually wear a jacket anyway, but you don't want the people in church to see something like this because there's too much negative talk. You know, I mean, they're not faith people. Most of you are. Some of you are, and some of you are not. And I know what happens to those that are not. They leave Sunday and say, oh, look at Pastor Thurman. He's trying to stand, but you know, I mean, I sure hope he don't lose that arm. But that's what they're doing. We don't realize what we are doing and how to stand in faith. So I didn't tell nobody. I just don't tell nobody whenever something like that goes wrong with me. And so Monday it was better, and Tuesday it was better, and Thursday it was completely healed. You know, there wasn't even a mark, not even a scar. And today, you can't even tell where that beast even bit me. I can take my shirt off, and you can see my arm. But I'm telling you, it was a battle. It was a battle. But, you know, you have to realize that on this earth, you're going to go through these battles. They're going to be here. You know, I mean, life and death is here every day.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.